You may be seated. You was probably dreaming, hoping I'd be that sharp. But it's been a few years now since I pastored, and my preaching was not as often as it used to be. And so you may be in for a long night. But I'll try not to keep you past midnight. But it looks like some of them heard ahead of time that I was going to be here. They didn't even make it, did they? But that's all right. God's still upon the throne. And we're going to have a good time in the house of the Lord tonight. I asked Brother Greg to lead us in that song, "Oh, How Sweet It Is to Trust in Jesus," because that's what I want to talk to you about tonight for a while, is trust. If you have your Bibles, I'll be reading some out of the 31st Psalm and also some out of the Psalms 37. If you want to have your place marked so that you'll be there when we turn to them in just a while, I'll be reading out of the New King James. Some of you have the NIV and others have the King James, but I think the meaning is all the same in all of them. But trust, Job states in the 14th chapter of the book that bears his name, in the first verse there, he said, "Man who is born to woman is a few days and full of trouble." I really doubt tonight that many that are present here in this auditorium tonight would challenge or debate the point with him. I think that Brother Greg started off telling us he didn't have too good of a day today. And so that just puts a kind of a underline of what we're talking about. We all understand that old adage that had been passed down through the years, that we have said to each other, "Cheer up, things could get worse." So I cheered up, and sure enough, things got worse. And you all understand those things, don't you? Now, Job, although he could have easily joined that pity club that we're talking about, and went just the opposite. Because when he was talking with his peers who were seeking the sins of his life, indicating that the harsh things that he was going through, he had to have missed God's will somewhere. He had to have sin in his life. And so they were trying to find out where he was wrong. And his friend said, he said back to his friends in that 13th chapter, and verse 15, he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." You begin to think about some of the old pioneers that are talked about in the Word of God, our faith forefathers. You talk about Job. You talk about Daniel when he was facing the lion's den. You talk about the three Hebrew children when into the fiery furnace they were going. And what is that common ingredient that enabled them to stand and become examples of faithfulness to God? And I think it has to come down to that word, trust. They just put their trust in God. Now, every relationship that you and I are aware of tonight is built on trust. We trust our spouses. We trust our friends. We trust our co-workers. And we trust our family members. And if we don't trust them, then we understand our relationships wither and they die because they're choked by suspicion and by jealousy and by fear. And so our relationships go by the way of destruction. You see, there's some folly that is involved in false foundations. Some people place their trust in money. And the Apostle Paul wrote, "Command those that are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy." You find that in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. And why are these riches of this present world so uncertain? We understand that billionaires today are just one stock market crash from being absolutely broke. Money can buy a bed of gold, but only God Himself can give us rest that we need. Money can buy the best physicians, but only God can give us health, and so we need to trust Him. Some people go one step further, and they put their trust in education. And education without God only produces intellectual barbarians. If you remember, as some of us do, the days of World War II, we know that Hitler's Nazis were well-educated, but yet they threw Jewish children alive into the burning ovens of Auschwitz. They had obtained scholarly degrees, but they were educated heathens, when you all boil it down. They had hearts of stones, and public schools in America have thrown the Bible out the back door, and they brought condoms in the front door, and without very much imagination, we can see where public schools in the United States are going today. And we need to pray especially for those schools and those teachers that God would give them the grace to live a life and conduct education that will glorify God. We can see where our schools are heading, because without God, they'll produce human beings with little or no moral fortitude. But you see, God is trustworthy. When life gets tough, and if life hasn't been tough for you, just stick around. It'll probably get tough, because nobody's going to escape some rain in this life. But when life gets tough, we need somebody to trust. And the psalmist David said in that 31st verse of the Psalms and verse number 1, he said, "In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness." When we're going through one of life's storms, the great prescription all wrote out for you, find it over in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, where he says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." Now let me remind you tonight, neighbor, Jesus, our Savior, knows the burdens that you carry. He knows the tears that we shed. He suffered a broken heart just like the broken heart you and I suffer. And he even had a dear friend betray him. But he's the healer tonight of broken hearts. He's the healer of broken dreams. And he's the healer of broken lives. You can trust him because he never, never fails. He's always there for you. Difficult. Trust must be complete, or it is not trust at all. There's a humorous story about a farmer who went to a county fair, and he saw a sign on an airplane that read, "Airplane rides for $50. He walked up to the pilot and he said, "I'll tell you, the price of that airplane ride is too high." And the pilot looked back at him and said, I'll make you a deal. If you'll trust me enough to take a ride without screaming, the ride is free. But he said, "If you scream, you're going to pay double." So the farmer said, "That sounds like a pretty good deal. I'll take you up on it." So the pilot took off, and the plane went up in the air, and the pilot took it through a series of aerobatic maneuvers. And after the plane landed, the pilot said to the farmer, "I'm absolutely amazed." Said, "You didn't scream one time." And the farmer replied, "Well, I'll tell you, I almost screamed on that barrel roll when my wife fell out." But he didn't scream. He trusted that pilot to go all the way through it. Now, God only asked one thing, a man. And that one thing that he asked of us as the human family is that we should trust him. He doesn't ask us to him. He doesn't ask us to explain him or to vindicate him. All he asks us to do is just trust him. I love that song that in the words of it, it simply says to trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Now, the opposite of trust is unbelief. Ask you this question: what does God think of people who will not trust him? Did you ever think about what does he really think about people who will not trust him? You suppose he has enlightened us with the words that were recorded in Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 8, where he said, "But the cowardly, the unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have in the lake which burned with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." You see, let unbelief begin to be rampant in our lives. That releases fear. It releases doubt. It releases suspicion. And unbelief binds the hand of God. Not only does it bind the hand of God, but it releases the demons of hell, and he will come after you with all of his ammunition trying to do a great harm to your spiritual walk with God. Who doubts her husband's love and doubts her husband's loyalty does not sing for joy. You have watched him, and have I, as I have. Her face is haggard. Her heart is broken. Her eyes are flooded with tears. And that's emotional. And a person who is filled with self-doubt is not a picture of joy. He usually is withdrawn. He's fearful of other people. He's angry. He's sitting with resentment. And that's emotional as well. But the knowledge of God builds trust, because trust is not emotional. Trust is based on knowledge. When we know that God is faithful, and we know that trust is born in that faithfulness, because when God was facing the great trials in his life, he remembered the faithfulness of God in times past. You find that he gave a record to that. "Oh, and to me, I trust you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me of my enemies and from those who persecute me." You see, David went back and he remembered the faithfulness of God. And it would do every one of us well tonight that when we're in those difficult places, just to take time sometime to pause back and reflect over what God has done for us. Reflect over the victories that God has given us in times past. It's easy under the press and the stress of the moment just to think that everything is lost and we are tying that knot in the rope and we're just hanging on. But if we can just stop and look back and what God has done for us, we can see what God has really brought us out of. I remember when God first called me into the ministry, and I was going to go down and try out my preaching skills for the first time. Never preached a sermon in my life, but I called a dear friend. He had to be a good friend because he had never invited a novice to take his pulpit on Sunday morning, but he did. And I remember walking up on that platform and looking down at the pews, and there was kind of a high platform. And I saw my brother-in-law sitting over there, and he looked like he was more nervous than I. He was about to chew his fingers off. But God blessed. And as God blessed, then he opened up an opportunity to pastor a church. And I said to the individual who was asking me to take that church, he said, "Well, you just come on down." Said they hadn't had a pastor there in about a year, and you can just go on there, but you got to work somewhere. And I said, "Well, you know, this is down in the Rio Grande Valley, and every place you got to work down here, you've got to know how to speak Spanish, and I haven't eaten enough tortillas in my life to know how to say those words." But nevertheless, if God would open up a way, I'll do it. And so I applied for a job. And the fellow said, "Well, I do need somebody to come in." I was in retail management at that time. "Come in and work for me." He said, "But the only thing, I want to meet you in Victoria, and we'll talk about it." So I met him in Victoria, and we talked about it, and he offered me a good deal. And I told him I'd pray about it and let him know. I already knew that it wouldn't work because Victoria was a long way from where I wanted to go. And I didn't mind commuting, but you know, about 2 hours ever, service time a little bit far to commute. And so I wrote him a letter and said, "Thank you for the offer of the job. The salary, it was good, and all the fringe benefits are nice, and it sounds like it'd be a wonderful thing. But really the reason that I wanted this job was I wanted to go down to the Rio Grande Valley to pastor a church there." And I told my wife, "I suppose that he'll be glad that he didn't hire me, because he'll wonder what kind of a fellow this is." And 3 weeks later, early on a Monday morning, my telephone rang before I went to the store I was running at that time. It was this fellow on the phone. And he said, I got your letter." And I thought to myself, "I imagine you did, and I'm glad I wrote your letter and didn't come to work for you." He said, "You know what?" He said, "If you want to come to work for me, just come on down to Brownsville, and you've got the job." I said, "Well, when do you want me there?" He said, "Well, like I told you, I really don't need you in Brownsville, so I don't care when you come. You decide when you want to come." And so that's the way that God worked it out for me. And just one door after another. So when I feel like I'm pushed into a tight spot and don't know what to do, I just reflect on what God did. I reflect on the fact that I didn't have but one suit at that time. It was kind of a maroon type check. And I told the Lord, "You know, this is going to be odd. If somebody wants to get married, I'm going to have to wear this. If they want to get buried, I'm going to have to wear this. I'm going to wear it all the time, and people will get tired of looking at it." And you know, that's all I can do. And you know, the last time I was at the church on the other side, I was going to a church over on Gulf Gate, where Vic Schober was a pastor at that time. And the Sunday school teacher that was over the adult class where I sat in on his lesson told me one morning, "Brother Perez," I'll never forget it, he said, "I want you to meet me down at the store tomorrow." And he named a certain men's shop. And he was retired, didn't look like he had too much retirement coming in. And he said, "Why do I want to meet you over there?" He said, "I want to buy you anything in that store you want." And so I told my wife what he said, and she said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "Well, I know that he's just struggling, so I can always use a white shirt, so I'll just ask him for a white shirt." And I met him over at that place, and we walked in. And the salesman came back and said, "What can I do for you fellas?" And he looked at me and he said, "This fellow wants a suit." Said, "Just let him have any suit in this whole store he wants. He can just pick it out." And so, still trying to be helpful to them. I went to the low end of the racks, you know, where the low price suits were. He said, oh, no, get out of that one. Let's go over here where these better class suits. They've got two power trousers. Said, you can always use that. And so, picked that up, and first thing I knew, he had me buying a shirt, and then was down to underwear and socks and shoes, and finally I said, Brother Press, just stop. I got to get out of here because I can't hold it together anymore. I'm about to cry. But God met my needs, and it's good. You have similar experiences to that, maybe not the same way, but just as important experiences. So when life gets tough on you, and you feel like God has forgotten about you, just remember some of the past victories that have come your way. That's what David did. He remembered when that lion roared against his sheep and God came and helped him. He remembered when the bear appeared and God came through. He recalled when Goliath mocked Israel that God gave him the victory. And when Saul tried to murder him, God saved him. So when Absalom was trying to destroy him, God was coming through again. David knew that God is faithful, and he would come through again and again and again, and God will come through for you. He'll never fail you or let you down. Now let me just switch over to Psalms 37 for a moment or two, if you want to follow along with me in your Bible. And here's a psalm that tells us to just relax because God is in control. Now let's practice this formula for success that he gives us in this 37th psalm. It starts off in verse number 1. He said, do not fret because of evil doers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Now, listen to what he says there in verse 1. Fret not. Now, worry is the interest that we pay on trouble before it ever happens. Sometimes we get so aggravated at the fact that evil people prosper. Evil people seem to just go out of the way and they can go to the racetrack and they can win countless dollars on the horses or the greyhounds that are running. And we just struggle along and just sometimes feel like we're just barely making it. And evil seems to be progressing and they're prospering. And we begin to wonder, has God forgot about us or what's going on here? Or we get aggravated because we get a parking ticket and the person right next to us was parking there or parked there when we came up. And we got the ticket and we left with that ticket and they're still parked there and no ticket on their car. And we say, what in the world is going on here? But I would say the psalmist is telling us, don't worry. The evil ones have no future at all. But if we're a child of God, we've got a future laid up in store for us. And that parking ticket and the little strife that we go through will seem like nothing when we get over on the shores of that celestial city. And then he says in verse number 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight in the Lord. That means to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Look back as David did. As I said to you a little earlier, remember the victories that God has given you and the wonderful things he's done for you in the past. Just trust him. Oh, just trust him, because when we trust him, the things that we trust will be tested. If you're trusting in your wealth, you can lose that wealth. If you trust in friends down here, there'll be a Judas who'll come along. When you trust in your health, then the doctor's going to tell you that you've got cancer and things and circumstances change. But neighbor, God never changes. Put your trust and your stake in Him. And in verse 4 it said, delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Look back as David did. And in verse 5 it says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Many times we carry burdens because we just simply have not asked God to lighten that burden. And then we wonder why it's so heavy. But we can come to Him and ask Him to lighten that burden, and He'll do it every time. And in verse 7 he says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do you find the progression there? Fret not, trust, delight, commit, and rest. Oh, that's what we're looking for, the rest of God. Because God is faithful. God's love is faithful, and it'll never fail us. I remember reading the story about a pesky old dog who lived next door to Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And this dog always got into Charles Spurgeon's flower beds. And one day Spurgeon saw the dog in his flowers, and he picked up a stick and threw it at him to scare him away. But that silly old dog just retrieved the stick, and with his tail wagging brought the stick back to Spurgeon. And the dog was in complete surrender, because Spurgeon said, what could I do but love that old rascal? Because he just brought that stick right back to him every time. Now, neighbor, when you and I, as a child of God, surrender to God, and when we put our trust in Him, He will love us back too. It doesn't make any difference what our crisis is. He'll love us. It doesn't make any difference what our crime is. He'll love us. It doesn't make any difference what our sin was. He'll love us. It really doesn't make any difference what our heartbreak is. If we put our trust in Him, the heart of God will melt, and He'll come to us and He'll aid us. You see, our relationship with God is based simply on trust. Think with me. When we were saved, and it's still true today, we're saved by trusting in Jesus. When we're healed by trusting His Word. When we are delivered, we're delivered by trusting in the power of His name. We're forgiven by trusting in the power of His blood. We have hope for the future because we trust He is all powerful and He is the sovereign God. So when we're facing a time of crisis, we need to remember how many times God has come through for us. Because God is faithful. He paid our sin debt at Calvary. He conquered death in the grave. And thank God He's coming back again with power and with great glory. And He asked you and I to reign with Him when He comes back with great power and glory. So trust in the Lord. Father, I thank You for these few moments of sharing with these that came to the house of the Lord upon this night. The word that You laid upon our heart, we pray that You'd take it and use it for Thy glory and for Thine honor. We pray, Lord Jesus, that You'll teach us just to rest in You and relax in You, because the battle is not ours, the battle is Yours. And Father, You're going to fight the battle and You're going to win every time. For all power in heaven and earth was placed in You, and there's no power on the face of this earth or under the earth or from the pit of hell that can overcome the power of our Lord and our Savior. And we thank You, Lord Jesus, for that invitation that You made throughout Your word, that we can just come and throw ourselves upon You and trust You in all the circumstances of life, knowing that You're always going to bring us through and give us complete victory. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love, and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Would you stand with me? And would you just reach close by and take one of your neighbors by the hand and just pray that God would bless them and teach them the lesson that they need to learn about trusting in him. And they'll pray the same prayer for you. And that way we'll have trust in our Lord, our God. Shall we? Would you do that? Father, I thank you right now as these fine folk touch one another with their hands, Lord Jesus, at a point of contact. They begin to pray one for another, Lord Jesus, asking you to meet every need that they have, Lord Jesus, helping them to have that complete trust in you, because you never fail. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or one tittle of your word will ever fail. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the great trust we can have in you. Bless this congregation, I pray. Bless the pastor and his wife, Lord Jesus. Give them safe traveling mercies, we pray. Keep every one of us safe in your arms and bring us back at the next appointed hour. We ask it in your name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. God's on the throne, isn't it? Isn't it sweet to trust in him? Praise God. May the Lord bless you. Look for you Sunday morning. Pastor will be looking for you, okay? God bless you.